morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who have come to recognize that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which govern our nation, who recognize the considerable malfeasance that is now inherent in the media, the military, and today as we discuss economics, global banking influences. We realize that these institutions are the problem, which means they cannot be part of the solution. There is no reason to be concerned with how many Republicans versus Democrats occupy federal and state legislative chambers. Therefore, our mission will be to look behind the headlines so that we know who is perpetrating these tragedies that are besieging our planet. Because based upon the plague of adverse political, religious, military, economic influences they have unleashed, we have at most 15 years until there is complete economic collapse, world war, unrelenting propaganda, and the deaths of billions. That's what we have to look forward to. And there's really no way to stop it. As a result, in our second hour, we're going to engage God on his terms through evidence and reason, since his guidance regarding his covenant provides the only escape from what is going to befall our world. And in that discussion, we're going to jump right back in to the story of the flood and to Noah, because God's current testimony as we're going through the Torah is extraordinarily affirming in terms of his credibility, where he speaks of an upwelling of seawater being the principal ingredient that began the flood of Mesopotamia. Our number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, either hour, 877-300-7645. It wasn't published because there was so much hand-wringing over other issues, but the U.S. trade deficit widened again. In September, as imports rose and exports fell to their highest and lowest levels in a year, suggesting that the third quarter growth estimate was highly optimistic and thus untrue. Other data on the wires printed even a less upbeat picture of the labor market, because it had been suggested that October payrolls from private industry had risen and that the economy was healing. For the first time, applications for jobless benefits fell. But unfortunately, they fell because people just grew tired of pretending to be unemployed and accepted that status, stopped looking for a job, and thus were no longer qualified for unemployment benefits. They simply gave up. And the trade deficit is another indication, an affirmation that America is no longer the economic leader of the world. We are no longer the world's leading manufacturer. No, that is now China. China announced at the same time that it is continuing, but at a ever-escalating rate and scope, to free its markets, while America constrains its, making its government a blend of socialism and communism, as well as fascism, by controlling all manner of business, particularly now with the Affordable Care Act, with the government being and overall supervision of everything that is done relative to your health care, and, of course, with your retirement, and, of course, with your protection, and, of course, with the education of your children. Everything is important in this economy is now controlled by your government in a fascist manner, that as it continues to increase its controls, the Chinese are reducing theirs, becoming economically a bastion of free enterprise, now incorporating all rural communities into this free enterprise experiment that originally only included initially certain zones like Hong Kong and the areas surrounding it, and then all metropolitan areas, and now the entire country. So at the time that America is constraining business, passing all sorts of restrictions on business, increasing its taxation of business, thwarting businesses at every possible turn, China is doing the opposite, recognizing that when you unleash individuals so that they have the opportunity to prosper, they will. But when you constrain them, when there is centralized control over them, when people who are completely ignorant of how businesses operate, who have never worked an honest day in their lives, like the President of the United States, then you get the opposite results. That's why our economy is dying. It's why our trade deficits are widening. It's not our trade surpluses that are declining. No, it's our trade deficit that is widening. We passed this Rubicon of being productive a very long time ago. Well, the trade gap increased 8% during the month to $41.8 billion. Adjusted for inflation, the trade balance imbalance, we should say, widened to $50.4 billion in a month. This measure goes into the calculation, of course, of gross domestic product, and the rise in the so-called real trade deficit in September suggested the government will probably have to lower its third quarter GDP estimate. Yes, this government has routinely published rosier numbers, and then when no one is looking, they reevaluate and say, well, we really weren't that good. Trade was reported to have contributed 0.31% of the economy's 2.8% annualized growth. So now the growth is 2.5%, but that annualized growth is not adjusted for inflation, and it does not factor in how much of that growth is government spending, which is now at over 25% of gross domestic product. Economists predicted the government would trim this GDP growth estimate by between 1 and 2 percentage points when it publishes revisions later this month. Quote, today's trade data suggests that the final estimate of a third quarter trade data will shave a couple of tenths off the GDP growth over the quarter. In a separate report, Labor Department said the initial claims for state unemployment benefits fell 2,000 to a seasonally adjusted 339,000 for the number of people filing initial claims for unemployment benefits. Yes, we are now in a world where being unemployed is a benefit. The claims for the prior week were revised to show 5,000 more applicants were received than were previously reported. So that actually increases the number of people who are shown to have filed initial claims to 344,000. This report, this is a quote from TD Securities in New York. This report suggests some sluggishness on behalf of the labor market. Yes, we're engaged in a recession whose bite will not let go. Reuters is reporting that Janet Yellen, who is President Barack Hussein Obama's nominee to lead the Federal Reserve, now this is a man who has chosen her, who has never worked a single day in his life in a business, never once. He has been a politician or an advocate for politics his entire life. He went from being a student to being a neighborhood volunteer and then paid service person on behalf of local political candidates and causes. Man hasn't even so much as asked if you would like fries with that order too. Not even working in a fast food restaurant. Never worked for a business a single day in his life. much less owned a business, much less invested in a business, much less was responsible for making payroll. Is it any wonder that our economy is tumbling? Well, this man who thinks that he is God's gift to the world, maybe he thinks he's God, is responsible for choosing the next central bank nominee, and he has chosen Janet Yellen. She said at the Senate hearings that the central bank has to do more to help the economy and a labor market that is still underperforming. So what does the Fed do when it wants to help? It increases the money supply. Now, we're going to speak about what increasing the money supply does to the value of everyone's assets in a moment. She says, I believe that supporting the recovery today is the surest path to returning to a more normal approach to monetary policy, Yellen, the Fed's vice chair, said in remarks prepared for delivery to the Senate Banking Committee this week. Supporting recovery. Oh, that sounds so nice. Oh, the Fed is such a supportive entity. Isn't that lovely of them? Supporting it, yes? What the Fed is doing, to the tune of $1 trillion a year, they are counterfeiting money. They're simply going to banks, their own bank in particular, and adding money. Just poof, there's $1 trillion. At the rate of about $85 billion a month, which is just a shade over $1 trillion a year, we're going to counterfeit currency. We're just going to say we're adding this much to our wealth. And then the Fed is going to use the money they have counterfeited. Now, this is counterfeiting in a very new way. It's not printing money. No, they're not even going to the trouble of printing money. Well, they print money. It's U.S. Federal Reserve notes. No, they're not going to print money. They're not going to have the Fed go into action. No, they're simply going to add a quantity of money to their bank accounts. Simply saying, there's $1 trillion here. Look at there. Yesterday, there was nothing there. Now there's $1 trillion. Let's go off and spend our hard-earned money. After all, we had to figure out a way to counterfeit that currency. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This is a commercial during the break where a gold company was trying to communicate something that is fairly profound. It is that what is the net gain or loss if your investment portfolio increases 10% over the year, and then, by the way, is taxed between the feds and the state at 50% of that, so that now your net gain is 5%. When the Fed during that time has inflated the money supply, devaluing your purchasing power by 40%. Do you not have a net loss of 35% as opposed to a net gain of 10? It's a profound thought that most people don't reckon with, they don't grapple with. And I want to share a little bit of this background with you before Craig Smith joins the program in the second half of this first hour. The Federal Reserve ceased publishing M3, which was a measure of the supply of money, in March in 2006, and partly because they were about to inflate the supply of money beyond comprehension. In the next several years. They actually created the balloon that they then popped to create the Great Recession that we're in today. In 2003 through 2005, M3, which was reported during that time, was increasing between 4 and 7% month over month, which is average at a compound rate. I just want to put this in perspective. At 4 to 7% month over month, a 6% compounded rate, which is about the average of what happened between 2003 and 2005, increases over the period of 30 years. I'm going to be 30 years because that's a long-term home loan, and that's easy for people to relate to. That means that if you increase the money supply at 6% compounded month over month over a period of 30 years. At the end of that 30 years, you have six times more currency in circulation, which means you have an 83% reduction in the value of that currency. Just at 6%. Now, then, immediately after the Fed stopped reporting their crime against the American currency, they stopped reporting M3, the Federal Reserve began pouring counterfeit money into the system, increasing a now unreported M3, or total supply of money, beginning in June of 2006, climbing from a 7% month-over-month increase in the supply of dollars to an astonishing 18% in December of 2007. Now, if you were to average that period of time from 7 to 18% and just use 13% as a compounded increase, and you were to do that over 30 years, the typical home loan period, mortgage, it is a 50 times increase in the money supply, which is a 98% reduction in the value of your savings, your money. Now, so in the run-up to the 2008 crash, the Fed pulled the string. So now they've 18% increase in the money supply month over month, and reaching a peak in December of 2007. The Fed then pulled the plug. And you see the chart of monetary supply increases plummeting to the fact that they're actually contracting the monetary supply. So in the run-up to the 2008 crash, just as the Fed had done in 1929, the Fed pulled the string and rapidly reversed their inflationary policy, so that by March of 2010, the Fed was actually reducing the money supply by 7%. I mean, that's a 4% change. This means that over the course of 4 years, with the 2008 Great Recessions beginning at its apex, the Fed went from inflating the dollar from 7% to 18% from 2006 to 2008, to then deflating the dollar by 7% in 2010. This mirrors exactly what the Fed did leading up to and immediately after the Great Depression of 1929, actually causing it and then exacerbating it. If we were to examine a three-year slice of this period of time, between 2007 and 2009, the U.S. currency was inflated and thus devalued by between 10 and 18%, with a mean of 14%, a factor of 1.522, defrauding Americans just over this three-year period of 45% of their accumulated wealth. In 3 years. In 2011, the Fed began inflating the U.S. dollar again, thus depreciating it at a rate of 5% month over month, a 78% reduction in its value over the term of a high. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It's my pleasure to have Craig Smith, who is the founder and CEO of Swiss America, on with us again this morning. You can reach Craig and do the right thing, which is to buy gold by simply entering buygold.com into the URL bar of your favorite browser. Good morning, Craig. How are you this morning?
Good, Yada. How are you?
Good. I want to give you a promotion this morning. I want to make you king of Craigville.
Okay.
Craigville is an island fiefdom. I want to do this exercise because it's I went through what happened right before the Great Recession between 2005 and 2008 in terms of the vast increase of the money supply, and then the Fed pulling the string in 2008 causing the current recession. When you just talk about numbers that big, it kind of all gets lost, and people have a tough time trying to understand trillions of dollars. So I want to make it a little more kind of down to Earth, and use you as an example of the King of Craigville, and what happens when you switch from a tangible reserve currency to a fiat currency. So, in this example, you're going to establish your nation, Craigville, with 100 units of a tangible, fungible, which means exchangeable for our listeners, universally desired and commonly valued commodity. So you got 100 units of that commodity. You're going to build a storeroom for those assets at Fort Smith. And you create a currency of one bill per unit of the asset using this asset, knowing that the certificates would be easier for the subjects of Craigville to use. Now, is that how currencies and nations were established a little over 100 years ago?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so that certificate entitles you to your, for example, so I come into Craigville onto your island with 10 units of the same asset and give it to you, and you exchange it for 10 of your Craigville dollars, we're all good, right?
And this is, those 10 units would then be able to be used to precipitate trade between you and
right.
whoever the other people were that lived on the island, whether it be a restaurant to buy something to eat
right.
or a hotel to gain shelter. Huh?
And they were worth exactly the same as the units that you you originally established, because I invested, gave you 10 units of your asset. For these 10 certificates. So we haven't changed the value of them at all, but now I'm a participant in the Craigville economy.
Yes, and of course the best way to look at it would be those 100 units were 100 ounces of gold. And the last mm-hmm. time you were at Craigsville, you happened to do some labor, and mm-hmm. you left Craigsville with 10 of those units, uh-huh?
Right, okay. Now, let's just say now that you, as the king of Craigville, decide that you want to really expand the place, and this this reserve of units of ounces of gold is holding you back, and you want to establish a fiat currency, which means that your currency is no longer based on the asset of gold, and when you do this, you decide, you know, because this is some malfeasance that's going to be taking place here, I want to make sure I can manipulate and control all of the other subjects of Craigville. And to make them dependent on you so they're less likely to revolt, you decide to give them all 100 residents of Craigville, one Craigville dollar each year. And to make certain that they don't even contemplate revolting against you, you buy a fleet of warplanes and of warships at a cost of 100 Craigville dollars a year.
Okay.
All right. But since you only have 100 Craigville dollars, I mean, that was your original investment. You don't want to spend yours, so now you need 200 new Craigville dollars, right?
Correct.
To pay for this entitlement program and to support your military. So you print them without adding anything of value to back them up. Now, that means there are now 310 Craigville dollars in circulation, but only 110 in assets. But those assets aren't even backing them anymore, are they?
No, not at all. And of course, the best way to make my Craigville units worth something is to make sure I make the residents who live in Craigville pay their taxes or their tribute to the king in the form of those units. So therefore, without those units, they can't live on my island. And that would be the better way to do it than with a warship.
And what happened 100 years ago in America in 1913 relative to income tax and the Federal Reserve banking system of fiat currency?
It's exactly what happened. You know, the if you will, scenario that you've played out, Yada, is exactly what happened. We created a Federal Reserve system that could continue to develop those Craig units and put them out into the system, while at the same time they created a Federal Reserve system a tax system, the 16th Amendment, that required in order for you to live in America, you had to pay your taxes in the form of these units, thus giving those units value. If tomorrow the federal government decided your taxes need to be paid in bananas, bananas would have a significant value, because without converting your Craig units into bananas, you couldn't pay the government your taxes.
And if you don't pay them your taxes, what do they do to you?
Well, in this country, they can do a number of things. First, they start with harassment, and they make your life miserable, and then they threaten you. And ultimately, if you don't pay, they put you in jail.
And they take your assets.
Freedom from you. You
can take your money. Yes. All right. Now, in this Craigville example so far, in the first year of your fiat, this is your 1913 expression, in the first year, have you not devalued my investment in Craigville, what I came in with, by two-thirds?
Yes, exactly right. And that's exactly what I love the two-thirds analogy, Yada, because that's exactly what Franklin Roosevelt did in 1933 when
right.
he recalled the gold. He'd recall gold at $20 and revalued it at $35. Thus, he took 70%, or roughly two-thirds, of the value of the American citizens' money in the form of confiscation of their wealth.
Correct. Now, let's just say that this scheme, because the residents of Craigville are apathetic, they don't pay much attention to what's happening around them, and they're really happy the fact that you're giving them one Craigville dollar a year for nothing. And they don't want to go against your Craigville military. So you do it for another 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that there would be 2,310 Craigville dollars in circulation. Now, if I wanted to, and you've changed the rules just like FDR did, so I can no longer redeem my 10 Craigville certificates for gold.
Right. Now you can just redeem them for more Craig units. You can't redeem them for anything of value.
And since there are now 2,310 Craigville dollars in circulation, when originally there were 110, what has that done to the value of my asset?
It's caused the buying power of that unit to drop because there are more units chasing the same amount of goods and services. That's why we've seen in 1913, you know, you could buy a gallon of gasoline for 13 cents, and today it costs you $3.50. It always, whenever you increase the quantity of a commodity, it can make the commodity worth less unless that commodity has subsequent demand that goes along with it. And what most people don't understand in this country and in this equation is that we can't continue to do this. I mean, we've had 5 years worth of zero interest rates doing exactly what you're laying out in this, creating more Craig units.
That's right.
With not subsequent demand behind it.
Correct. In fact, let's look at the Craig units from a United States perspective. In 1980, M3, which is no longer reported, but it was in 1980, M3 was $2 trillion. At the time, the aggregate U.S. debt was under $1 trillion, was $900 billion. In 1990, the Fed had increased the number of U.S. dollars to $4 trillion. At the time, the U.S. deficit was now $3.2 trillion. You're going to see there's a trend of the U.S. deficit and U.S. dollar manipulation. And in year 2000, M3 was $6 trillion. In 2006, the last time it was reported, M3 was just a shade over $10 trillion. So while it's not published today, based upon an extrapolation of M1 and M2, in 2010, it was approximately $18 trillion. Now, that sounds just like a whole lot of big numbers, right? But what does that mean? That means that in the first 10 years, that first decade, from 1980 to 1990, that the U.S. dollar was robbed of 50% of its value because they doubled the amount of them.
That's correct. That's why most people don't realize, and I remember it well because I had been married for 3 years at the time, that from 1980 to 1990, prices doubled in America. If you were paying $150 a month rent in 1980, you were paying $300 a month for that same apartment in 1990.
Correct. And so, and the reason that the cost of things doubled was because we doubled the monetary supply, which means the purchasing power of a dollar fell in half.
That's correct.
By the way, it's worse than that too, because your wages went up to compensate for that, but then the government got to tax it, so the government got far more tax dollars by creating this destruction of the currency.
Yes, exactly right. And see, the government, you know, what are the famous feared words? We're from the government and we're here to help you. The government really believes they're doing a wonderful thing, because as they create more units of trade, they can claim that they are expanding the economy. And the big argument would be, well, hey, if we only left it at 100 Craig units, we could have never developed an economy that is currently $15 trillion in today's numbers. Now, that's not true, though, because one Craig unit would have become worth exponentially more, in relative terms, the expansion of the economy.
Yeah, they didn't increase the size of the economy at all, actually. All they did was devalue the measure of the economy.
Exactly right, and that's why I find it fascinating when I see the way that you're laying this out, because most Americans don't realize that the only reason that this whole system works is the word confidence. You see, if I have the confidence that that unit is worth something, then it becomes worth something. Until then, it's worth nothing. And we're losing confidence rapidly in America.
Yeah, I would change the word confidence to faith and belief. And it is a myth that we are believing in. And it is about to evaporate. It's about to be exposed. And anarchy is going to be the result. We're going to be back with Craig Smith for one final segment after the commercial break. Stay with us. Story is actually a criminal story of the Fed and the U.S. government working together to defraud Americans. Got far worse in the decade between 2000 and 2010. Speaking to Craig Smith of Swiss America. You can reach Craig at buygold.com. Craig, between 2000 and 2010, the Fed flooded the market with counterfeit currency, currency they had conceived out of thin air, by $12 trillion. During that period of time, the M3, the measure of the total amount of money in the system, increased by $12 trillion. That means that in one decade, the Federal Reserve defrauded Americans of 67% of their accumulated wealth. And that means if you go back to 1980, 30 years prior, Americans had now lost 89% of their accumulated wealth. Now, that should resonate with people. They should be angry. You know, when Janet Yellen says, we're going to continue this because by quantitative easing, which is increasing the monetary supply, we're supporting the growth of the U.S. economy. No, they have defrauded Americans of 89% of the value of their savings in 30 years. It's an astonishing problem. In fact, Craig, I think you can use M1 and M2 to extrapolate the money supply today. Best I can tell, it's currently at $21 trillion. And that means that that the value of the U.S. currency in the past 33 years has fallen by 91%. Why is it that people don't seem to be angry by this?
I think that's a very conservative figure, and you're right. You know, that's why Henry Ford said if the American people knew how their money system worked, there'd be a revolution by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And he was absolutely right. And I'm surprised the American people have allowed it to go this far. You know, I was thinking about a report that Egon Ergetz wrote years ago, and he basically looked at the growth of our GDP from 1970 to 2010. And then he looked at what it would be if we hadn't increased debt to the levels that we've increased debt. And you can make the argument, Yada, that we've had zero growth over the last 40 years. And where that money has come from is just where you pointed out, directly out of the pockets of the American people to create an economy that basically has gone nowhere but have stolen wealth from the American people.
Yep. Matter of fact, I think that the rest of the world has figured out, particularly the financial world, as to what we have done, which is why today It's not the Chinese that are the largest holder of U.S. treasuries. It's the U.S. Fed and U.S. and state government agencies who collectively hold 26% of the national debt. Because I don't think that, I don't think it's serviceable any other way.
No, no, and you're absolutely correct. And that's why our latest book, The Great Withdrawal, we wrote about time has come that the world is getting ready to withdraw from the U.S.
Right.
dollar. And I meant to do this last week. You know, your listeners can get a free copy of that book. It's normally at Amazon at $14.95. But if your listeners call 800-289-2646 and mention I'm listening to Shattering Myths with Yada, we will actually send them the book, no charge. We only ask one favor, that you read the book and you pass it on to somebody else. Because what Yada has laid out for you, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what has happened to this nation. And what blows my mind, and I'm sure Yada's as well, is that there is not total outrage and fury in America of being robbed. If somebody put a gun in your face and took the wallet out of the back of your pocket, you would have steam coming out of both of your ears. Yet the government has done that to the American people, and we sit back, as Yada said earlier, and we just kind of go along, and just as long as there's two cars in the garage and my cable's working and Super Bowl comes in clear this year, everything's fine. Well, it's not fine, and there is going to be withdrawal, and that withdrawal is going to affect every American. So that's why if you call 800-289-2646, mention Yada's program, they'll send you a complimentary copy of my latest book, The Great Withdrawal, which shows you how 100 years of progressivism in America ends, and it doesn't end pretty.
No. In fact, it's 91% reduction in 30 years of the value of savings. The reason most Americans aren't rising up against this, Craig, is the fact that most Americans have no savings. Most Americans are an average of about $250,000 in debt. And if you're in debt, you actually benefit from the government destroying the value of the currency because you pay back the debt in dollars that are worth a lot less than the ones you originally borrowed.
Absolutely.
Also interesting, Craig, and I wish we had more time. The Fed now owns 26% of the national debt, and the amount of that U.S. debt that has to be serviced each year is 26%. We'd be bankrupt without the Fed.